Hello and welcome to the TV Dudes. I'm Randy.
I'm Greg.
I'm Johnny.
And we are talking about Tremé, the recently concluded HBO series about New Orleans. I know, right?
I love the music.
I love that. That is one of those, I watch the end sequence, I watch the opening sequence every time.
Yeah, so do
I. I watch through it every time.
Yeah, me too. Because
the music's good, and they change it up.
I love that they change it up every year. Let's go.
Tremé, for those who don't know, and I don't imagine you'd be listening to this podcast if you didn't, it is a show set in New Orleans post-Katrina. It was actually a sort of time piece. I mean, it ended in 2008.
Yeah.
Even though it ended in 2013.
Right. It ended in the Mardi Gras after Obama's
election.
Swearing in.
So it'd be 2009.
2009, you're right. So yeah, we're about 4 years off.
So let's see. It came in, it was a year after Katrina, right? So
yes.
Katrina was 2005?
I think that's right. I feel like I should know off the top of my head, but I don't.
Yeah, so it was 2006.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. That's where it came in.
Yeah. So
And then they had that big flashback towards the end of the season where it showed where everybody was.
Yeah.
And why everything had been going on.
Right.
So Tremé was a show about musicians and restaurateurs. And eventually developers and who else? What lawyers?
Lawyers.
And even
lawyers,
a cop. They brought a cop.
It was kind of like a day in the life of a city coming back from a terrible incident.
Yeah.
It'd almost be like, actually, there was a great question asked about what would be a city that David Simon could explore more.
Right.
Thinking about that, what if they did like 9/11 right after New York? And actually, right after New York with the whole Giuliani crap and the one guy he nominated for Homeland Security, Bernie Kerik, was a total scumbag, actually ended up going to jail.
Right.
Like, that kind of thing would be actually interesting to see.
Yeah.
Because people kind of forget about,
I don't think we could have handled it, though.
No.
It was too painful.
Well, actually, even the year before that, which is when I lived there, when Giuliani was getting run out of the city and stuff... Because he cheated on his wife, he was trying to run for Senate. That's when Hillary won
Senate.
In it. That would be really interesting. But I mean, I'm a David Simon disciple, so
he
can't do no wrong to me. So I'm not biased with this. Mm-hmm. And his worldview is a view that I usually have because, and now just to bring Breaking Bad in just for a second, why for me is different is that Simon is a reporter. He's a journalist, and the way he looks at the world is he presents it and kind of just looks for the truth by presenting it without any fiction or a lot of fiction around it.
I'll agree with that. Gilligan's more of a storyteller,
right? And that's just my personal where I'm more like that because I grew up that way. My father was a narcotics agent, my mother was a nurse, so
everything's connected.
Everything is connected, but it's just a realistic view of the human condition, which I thoroughly love stories like that. Why I like cop stories.
Now, here's the thing about it. I always loved Tremé.
Yeah.
But if anyone I talked to, and I talked to plenty of people who were just they couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
I understood 100% why someone wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody.
It didn't have a plot.
It was very light on plot. It had a plot.
Life doesn't have a plot.
Yeah.
That's why
thing that made it so good, to me, is that it's really difficult to tell a story without telling a story.
Yeah.
And yet they did it every week.
Well, yeah, I mean, they had some of the best actors playing these really rich characters.
That is the biggest crime to me, though. It's like, okay, you may not like his shows or The Wire or even Generation Kill.
But the Oscar snubs?
Yeah. But, I mean...
It's like he doesn't exist.
It's like these
not
actors...
Oscars,
and these actors are amazing.
Yeah.
I mean...
Candy Alexander, I've always liked Candy Alexander, whether it was on News Radio or CSI...
Yeah.
She's always been good, but she was phenomenal here.
She was phenomenal.
She was
a broken heart.
The post-rape stuff was amazing.
That was great.
This whole season was
her with the boys and her with Big Chief Lambro.
Yes.
I got to say, the stuff with Big Chief Lambro dying of cancer got a little real.
Oh,
yeah.
That was rough. You want to talk? I mean, Simon's got a dark world view.
The day that he was so happy?
Yeah.
He was like, look at this. We got an Indian summer. He was all happy. And then the doctor's like, you need to sit down. Chief.
Yeah, I saw where all that was going, too. And I was like, man, this was right about the time I was sweating out my diagnosis, by the way. It was about when they were having him die of cancer. I'm my God, I should not be watching this show right now. I felt that storyline more than any other story.
That and the way like when he actually did pass away. Yeah, actually, this was in episode 4.
Episode 4, season, yeah.
Just in his bed. Yeah, it wasn't a big dramatic thing. Yeah. It was just
stopped breathing.
He just stopped breathing. It's like that's why it was creepy because. Yeah. That's what happens. People don't just like fall off of bridges or something.
Well, they don't have big dramatic speeches.
Big dramatic speeches. Just
what I love though is that I mean, honestly, they showed Lambert was this guy, this big physical guy, and they showed him sort of waste away.
Yeah, he really went in,
and he got tired, and he couldn't do anything, and you could see how frustrated that made him.
I mean, the way he even lied to the priest that was blessing the house.
Yeah.
Like, well, we didn't really finish the bathroom.
But we had to get it. Yeah.
It was also practical. It was like, you need to get in there. We should have torn out those tiles.
And
we got to finish this business. This is really important that this business
goes. And he never finished it. His son finished it.
Yeah.
Which was beautiful, just seeing him just. And I would think. And that's a real risk. That's a realistic way how people deal with grief.
Yeah.
His father died. And he's like, well, the house got to be done. And he's putting his... Because, you know, he never really... You know, his whole thing about... Because, what's his name?
Rob Brown.
Rob Brown. Delmon was always between the New York and New Orleans thing, which, from a musical point of view, that whole, hey, man, you're a New York guy. Yeah. You're going to be up there doing Wynton Marsalis, like, you know, Lincoln Center guy.
Terrence Blanchard. That was a great scene.
Terrence Blanchard. Yeah, and then Donald Harrison also was in it. But that whole, like, okay, you're going to do the New Orleans thing or you're going to make money in New York?
Right.
And where the New Orleans cats don't necessarily respect the New York cats, the New York cats definitely don't respect the New Orleans cats. And that issue is very, very, very real.
Yeah.
And the way they played it out with that was beautiful. And also the personal thing with his father.
Yeah.
Him, you know, him realizing he can't, it's like, I'm not going to be here. I cannot march.
Yeah, he can't be the big chief.
I cannot be the big chief. I can't do that.
That's what I was going to say is we've talked about how it's sort of plot light. What it was, though, there were character stories. The story of Delmon and his father and their relationship is a through line through those seasons of Tremé. And the same thing with the Davis and Jeanette story, which I wasn't quite sold on them getting together. I thought that was kind of a weird way to go.
I don't think that they would get together. I think week, it would be like, okay, well...
It's over.
Well, her whole story, just going to New York, getting the restaurant back after all the damage. Her getting some press, going to New York, then coming back and then getting screwed over by the big restaurant owner. I just loved it. And plus, I love Kim. What's her name?
Kim Dickens. And that's by the way, awesome. That's another echo of the Rob Brown Delmon Lambert story. Yeah. Her, you know, it's New York versus New Orleans. You know, do you want to do what's in your soul, what's in your heart, or do you want to do what's going to be profitable?
Right.
And when she tried to do both, she got screwed.
She got totally screwed.
And I love, by the way, I want to talk about the developer, the guy from Houston.
John Cena's
character. He's a scumbag Republican rich guy who's taken advantage of people, and yet they made him so sympathetic and so likable. He fell in love with New Orleans that I wound up really liking him. And I love that he did this little thing that he didn't have to do.
Not at all.
That for Kim Dickens' character.
He screwed the other guy.
He screwed the rich guy. He's like, he promised him 100% of nothing.
Yeah.
That was great.
And that was so good.
But that's so developer. And like what he says, like when he's walking around, he goes, you know, he doesn't build anything.
Yeah.
He just moves money.
Yeah.
He just moves money.
Yeah.
Which is so infuriating. This, like, but getting into the financial
crisis. But somebody's going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. Somebody's going to do it. And he was, you know, the whole idea of the Rampart Street.
Yeah.
And the old guy, the old New Orleans guy was right.
Yeah.
Like, the neighborhood doesn't want this to be a bar room neighborhood anymore.
And that, you know, it's so funny, you know, living here in Austin, and actually Austin's going through this stuff.
Absolutely.
It's like, you know, I look at it as a musician and as a resident. It's like, okay, you Austin makes money and New Orleans makes money by being live music.
Places. Yeah.
But then it's like, well, these clubs have to go someplace.
Yeah.
But everybody wants to live downtown. You have all these stupid sound ordinances.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, what are you going to do? You want the culture, but we actually have to make noise.
It's the not in my backyard thing.
Yeah,
it's the,
which is so annoying.
Yeah.
The more successful it becomes, the worse it gets as a place to live.
Like, because Davis had a really good point about the club across the street from where the
the jazz conservatory
going to. But
did that ever get built in real life?
Actually, I don't know.
I don't either. And I feel like there's the Times-Picayune. There's a writer of the Times-Picayune.
Dave Walker?
I think so.
Yeah.
Who does an episode-by-episode guide, and he talks about all the realism. And I need to go back and cover.
Yeah.
I've been reading it for these five episodes, but I need to, because he talks about all the music, all the places, all the real stuff that was going on.
All the real actors, all the real characters.
And does all these links, and it's a fantastic article he does every time.
It's funny, that was my one, not a complaint, but my wish for the show would have been if they would break the fourth wall now and then whenever there was a musician.
Yeah.
They would put their name
right,
so
you'd know. Yeah.
Just that much of a documentary, you know? Because some people showed up often enough, like Kermit Ruffin's.
This guy's real,
It was so great, like Elvis Costello pops up.
And everybody knows who Dr. John is.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's Mr. Dr. John.
Yeah, Mr. Dr. John to you, young man.
That was so great.
Oh, Annie's story. I love that character. The humor really was great.
Yeah.
And I love seeing her stand up to her manager. That's a character who's being abused at the beginning.
She got on my nerves a lot.
Really?
Listen. As a guy who's never had anything close to her opportunity.
Sure.
I took that very personally. It's funny. Just like what her manager said. I'm giving you a chance. Try it my way. Because not a lot of people get chances. That's the only thing that was a little implausible. Because first of all, there aren't any managers out of Austin. Trust me. B, the fact that she got signed to a major label doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It does not, I mean.
Was it a major label?
A label would support.
She wasn't just selling merchandise CDs.
No, a label would support that can get her on the road like that.
You didn't buy her, sort of wanted to stand by her band. That's not a thought she was being.
I bought that at first, but when her band said, "Hey, don't worry about it," and she was still raising hell, it was kind of like,
Also,
her band understood. Go for it.
And the dirty secret, that band wasn't that good. Her band wasn't that good.
The pretty secret is she's a beautiful chick who plays violin and sings.
Right. And that's what they're going to sell.
Yeah. Whoever backs her up doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But then even that band, how many people in there? I mean, just like those logistics, it's like, man, you're bringing like 10 guys, or how are you making any money?
Yeah.
So, because I was just on the road with four people, didn't make a lot of money.
I did like the story with Sonny, because Sonny's a character I hated in the first season. But that little nod where she mentions that he's the one who brought her to New Orleans, and that little reconciliation from the stage.
He's the only one that got shorted.
Yeah, he did not get to do much in the last 5th season.
Season 3, though.
And Simon said that, too.
His redemption story, and that whole thing
was great. And I actually loved what little we saw of him and his wife.
Yeah.
The way they interacted, her taking him to the show and letting him be a busker.
And
they gave
us a moment.
Things were cool.
Yeah.
Now, you're never going to be a superstar, but you've got a life here.
That actor, Michael Huseman.
He was supposed to be the lead on the Six Gun TV show, which I really would have liked to
see. He's like one of the only redeeming things about Nashville. Yes, I still watch Nashville. But he's like one of the only redeeming things about it because he's so good.
And then we've talked about LaDonna. What about Antoine?
My big fear this season was that night when they had the bender.
Right.
When he went on the bender to be an old
man. I was afraid something bad was going to happen.
I thought he was going to die.
Yeah, me too.
I thought when he was doing that walk in the
morning, waiting for him to collapse or something.
Who was it that passed away from the show in the first
episode? It was not David Simon.
No,
I
see his face.
I can see his face too, and I can't remember his name.
And he died right there on the side while they're filming the show.
Yeah.
He had a heart attack and fell down.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought they were
going
to do.
Yeah, me too. I was afraid that that's where they were going.
David Mills.
Yeah. Thank you. I knew it was David.
And I just really was like, oh, please not. You know, let's know.
Yeah. I love seeing Antoine change that way and then becoming the responsible adult with the job.
Which is so funny because I'm like,
that's a funny,
I'm kind of doing that myself. And so, seeing him go through that transition, kind of becoming a grown up, is just, and then even though he slips back a little bit, but he backslides a little bit, but then him having the sons go there because LaDonna is breaking up with Larry, and the sons are acting out, and he's still their father, and
that was a great scene.
That was great
when he comes out. He's like, "Yeah, you've been taking it easy on him." It's like,
which is
it's great to see him lay down the law.
Which is so true too.
Yeah,
And he's like, wait, you guys are big guys. You need to pick that stuff up.
Yeah, are you going to walk off and leave me and your mom and carrying this book bag?
Yeah, that was man. Yeah, that
and
was great.
And talking to his wife, whose name I never knew. No. Like, yeah, the boys are going to have to come.
You know, one of my big disappointments in the season is that his wife never met the developer guy, whose name I don't say his character, but you know they had an interaction in season 4.
Yeah,
Nelson O'Donnell.
But then because Antoine and Davis sort of hung with that guy a little bit, I thought maybe there'd be a point where they met in a social setting, and his wife would be like, "I know you, yeah. you're the asshole."
And that was something I really liked about that show. Because the people didn't all know each other.
Yeah,
it wasn't you know this Mayberry kind
so,
of thing.
That is the woman we're talking about. How she got the job too is Phyllis.
She's a real New Orleans person.
Well, because. One of the best documentaries ever was When Levee Breaks.
Yes,
she was in that.
Yeah, that's right.
And she was so good in that. She's like, go back and rewatch it. Spike Lee did it the year after Katrina. She was so good in that. Simon was developing it, and they was watching it and picked her out of that. That's how good she was. Really good, that good.
Let's see, who else? We talked a little bit about Kim Becky's story.
She wasn't an actress before?
No, she wasn't.
She was
because she's good. She's great.
She was really good.
Yeah. She was playing. Go back and watch it. She's basically playing herself.
Well, that, a little bit. That's harder to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, because she was that's what's great about the show too. What she did in The Wire and everything is like you're using local talent. You know, there are local people there who are actors that got their extras and got work out of it.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, when people talk about having, you know, when talking about having the incentives with filming and stuff.
Right.
You know, that's where you really see that. And it's like, I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yeah, I'll say one thing about, we talked about people getting short shrift, Michael Huseman getting short shrift.
Right.
Melissa Leo, I feel like she was in a lot of it, but her story wasn't that interesting. I feel like, in a way, she got short shrift because her story wasn't that great this season.
Well, I think...
Like, the breakup with her and Terry, and I'm like... And the thing with her, and the thing with her daughter, really and the thing with the new case, none of that was super interesting.
Well, I don't think she was really... They were really together. They kind of were... They were
sort of floating toward each other,
But it was a very realistic thing that happened.
Yeah.
Where you just realize, I gotta be by my boys. And she,
I mean, I like
him. She's married. To get out of town.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, David Morris's character was screwed.
I really thought, again, he was going to
die.
Shot.
Yeah,
I thought he was going to get...
I didn't think...
And when he left and it was on the radio,
I
was thinking, don't turn around.
Yeah.
Don't turn around.
And I'm glad
he corny.
Didn't.
Yeah.
And he turned it off.
Well, that's because George Pelicanos wrote the, second episode this season, I think.
Yeah.
And Pelicanos is is Simon's hitman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He always wrote those episodes where bad things happen.
Well,
so second episode, and that's where
the kid
gets killed. Yeah.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was bad.
But that's where you start thinking, people are going to die.
Yeah.
Have you ever read any of his fiction?
I have not, actually.
You know what?
King Superman.
I mentioned not reading more fiction. I actually put him down that I was going to read his books.
Yeah. You'd like that one, probably.
Yeah.
But I felt like Melissa Leo is one of the stronger... She's a great actress. But I felt they didn't give her a ton to do this season.
No.
And I felt like her story with the, you know, the new case they threw out, it's probably like they should have been wrapping up all the other stuff they've been doing. And then when they brought Chris Coy back, who I thought was great, I was so happy to see him, and I liked seeing the two of them together. I feel like that should have been the whole season story instead of adding a new case to her.
You know,
I think that was just to keep her active for the handoff to the feds.
Yeah.
You know, like just... She didn't have much to do, but they had a place marker for her. I mean, she had to be there.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was only 5 episodes.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot to do.
I was actually hoping that maybe... I mean, the last one was an hour and a half. I was hoping to have if they were each like 2 hours, it would be really cool. But
yeah.
The big thing to me that I loved about it was that by the end of the episode, these people weren't victims of the flood.
Yeah.
That was just a part of life now.
And
that's what happens.
Randy read the David Simon interview that Alan Sepinwall did. And it's funny because he talks about purposely not bringing in the two other things, which were...
the New Orleans Super Bowl win and BP oil spill.
BP oil spill.
He didn't want to get into that stuff.
Because it's just too... It's like almost too much.
Yeah.
You just would be dragging it out.
Yeah.
And then this happened in New Orleans.
Yeah.
You know, it just...
Yeah, and it did, but it's like,
And then that witch coven moved in.
the witch coven led by Bobby Jindal, their governor.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Yeah, actually, if Treme segues right into True Blood, that's...
That'd be funny.
From True Blood and then to American Horror Story. That would be great. good time to be from New Orleans.
And Tremaine's gonna. It's funny because you could read. I suggest going to read that David Simon interview.
Yeah.
I feel his pain.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, God damn it, I'm doing these things. People are, you know, it's good work, and then it's always like after everything gets canceled. Now everybody gets
into
my stuff.
Good work, but to some extent, Tremaine feels it almost. Simon does the thing where it almost feels more like work. It's like education. And people don't necessarily want that. People sometimes just want to be entertained. Yeah. And his stuff is not always pure entertainment. It is for guys like us.
Well, again, he's talking about the. When you're talking, if your life is anything remotely like that stuff, and like like with Tremaine, it hit me personally.
Right, sure.
Yeah. Stuff, it could be like, I'm sitting in the back of a van. This kind of sucks, you know? and you're telling me that this kind of sucks, and there might be no point to this. It hits close. It's like you with Big Chief. It's like, fuck. Yours is obviously way more dramatic than mine, but it's just like, you don't necessarily. Then you put on The Simpsons. Like, I don't really need to think about this right now.
Yeah, after watching that, I had to watch some comedies for a while. Yeah.
So it's, I mean, and it's like that realism, that really not like depressing, like character, while you're putting somebody in a terrible situation, but like, no, this is my life. Nobody wants to watch it. I'm a masochist and I like to watch that shit. So that's why I like it.
The thing is, though, unlike The Wire, which I haven't seen all of The Wire, but unlike The Wire, it wasn't all bleak. It wasn't all
bad. There were some funny moments in The Wire.
Yeah.
Sure, it's but like, the overarching...
Yeah, but it was a drama.
He's not wrong. The Wire was very much, this is bad, and the system is bad, and bad things are happening. And you had funny bits, especially with the bunk.
The bunk.
And some of that, and the Fuzzy Dunlop and all that stuff. But it was always in service to showing how corrupt or how screwed up the system was.
Exactly.
Whereas in Tremaine, you had moments where they actually had triumphs.
Yeah.
You know.
Annie leaving her boyfriend after he was abusing her was a triumph.
The Davis-Annie relationship, even though it didn't wind up good, was a high point for both of them.
He had his own label. Like, David's... We didn't really talk about him.
Yeah.
He was going through this, like, existential thing.
Turning 40, Well, he was the poster child for oblivious white male privilege.
Oh, yeah.
He had no idea how good he had it.
Yeah.
And when he got his ass kicked for whatever free use of the N-word he said in the bar that time... That was a big wake-up call for him that I think he went right back to sleep on a couple weeks later. I'm back to normal.
But then the other thing that was, too, for him was the whole record label thing. When his aunt basically took it over and made all the money.
Well, because, because it turns out that he's kind of a screw-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Davis, and especially I love Steve DeZahn's performance as Davis.
Me too.
But we are never meant to think that Davis is the guy who's going to get it together and be the guy. He's not the voice of a generation that he thinks he is.
He's a
stoned-out goofball. That's all he is. He's a fun guy to hang out with, but you wouldn't hit your star to him.
No.
Right.
Except that he knows a lot about wine.
Mysteriously knows a lot about wine,
Which is, again, because he's rich, very rich.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't seem to have to pay for rent. He didn't seem to have to do anything but have money in his pocket.
I love the joke at the end when he's in the radio station. He's like, when his one boss, like his nemesis, the man,
Darnell,
was giving him a compliment, and he just goes off. Like, you're so easy. You're too easy. And it was
that
just,
was great.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
And then the whole joke with the pothole on the street.
Yeah.
That was a great little.
And then he puts that little thing in there, and that's basically the last scene, which just says everything.
Yeah.
Which is really what really happened.
Yeah. David Simon said that was a thing from his real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's great.
And when the city workers pull up,
they're gonna fix it. Yeah. No, they're just gonna get beer. They have to be nearby.
It's
so great.
Every part of this, I love this show.
I don't know if they've done any more albums. Mm-hmm. I bought the first two seasons albums. You know, all the music, and I've got all the music. I listen to it every day. It's great.
The music is great. I'll probably end up buying the series because I can rewatch it.
It's a great show.
Even buy a box set of the whole two and a half seasons would have some really great extras.
Hopefully, some great extras. Maybe some full music performances.
Yeah,
that's where it'll live again. And you know, Simon will be hailed as a genius again.
I don't think this is ever going to be as big as The Wire was.
No, never.
A crime drama.
It's not as
much. It's much more accessible.
Yeah, I don't think it's. I personally like it. I don't think it's as good. I think The Wire was better, but
yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people would tune into Treme expecting something to happen.
Yeah.
You know,
and it just didn't. Yeah, it's not what it did. Yeah,
it was kind of like Slacker. You know, yeah. It just kind of went from scene to scene.
Yeah,
and how you know people come in after a hurricane and they want to move money around and you know they would have people that were convicted and had already served their time playing themselves.
Yeah,
as corrupt politicians.
Well, and that's that actually happened in Wire too with the guy who basically was Omar. He was a church deacon.
Yeah.
You know, which in a funny way, you know, people, because there's this little sidetrack, there's this whole, did you read that thing about the woman who talked about the Wolf on Wall Street?
Yeah, I saw that.
I totally disagreed with
it. I totally agree with you, but that's all beyond the scope of this podcast.
But it's kind of like he would feature, again, it's kind of like the real life thing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, these people were bad, they served their time, you know?
Yeah.
But they are essential to part of the story.
Yeah.
You know, the moral judgment of what they did and if it's wrong putting them in, it's like if putting them in the plot or whatever, putting them in the actual TV show. I mean, it's just it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and in one way there's no moral judgment because it's the characters and this really happened and it's our duty to make better choices, not him.
Let me ask you guys, favorite character over the entire series? Like, which character in the story resonated with you the most?
Antoine?
I would say the ones, Antoine and Annie, because of the music
Antoine
stuff.
Antoine and Annie.
See, and for me, Jeanette, her story with all the cooking, and that was probably my favorite story.
She was
at the time.
But I just loved Antoine.
And
he was about to eat sushi. Antoine, pieces of fried fish eating motherfuckers.
Well, because
stuff like that.
And
say hey to your mama and them. You know, he would say stuff that I'm like, oh my god, he's my cousin. You know, just everything was
that's
so believable.
That's Wendell Pierce, though, because I mean,
Wendell Pierce is from New Orleans, isn't he?
He's from New Orleans.
He's got a great voice,
and I feel kind of bad. A little bit, because he kind of plays similar character, because even in the Michael J. Fox show...
Sure, he does play like the dog, and
But he's so good at it.
Yeah.
And it's just so... He's just like... You feel like he could be in this room talking right
he's
now.
He's grateful to be working.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Frankly.
He still does a lot of stuff in that community.
Yeah.
I liked Melissa Leo's character a lot. I liked them. Yeah. I liked all the characters.
I did too.
Yeah,
that's
me too. There's no one in there. I mean, the only one I'd point to is first season Sonny.
Well, he was a dick.
And then you realize, oh, okay, that was actually an arc. That's actually where they're going with that. Because he was reprehensible. I didn't want to see him.
I tell you, I have a really hard time forgiving any man that hits a woman.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't care where they go in the rest of the season. I'm like, you need to do more than apologize
for
that.
Yeah.
That's a real... sore spot.
Absolutely.
It's so weird because again, it happens. You know, it's terrible. It's kind of like I always look at like when I see season 5 Poot working in a Foot Locker. It's like like this guy, like he served time. He shot one of his best friends. He's working in a fucking Foot Locker. It's like, what's wrong with this?
Yep.
But it happens.
But. Domestic violence.
It's
really hard for me to go, oh, good, I hope he works.
No.
Yeah.
Hey,
well, that's not where I was. For the most part, I was like, fuck that guy. And I didn't want to see the story. I'm like, by the time that they're bringing it back, like, I don't care. Yeah, he stepped over a line. He can never redeem himself. And yet, they basically
did.
I'm like, you know what? They got to the point.
Could.
I'm like,
trying to redeem
I get, you know, I like this character now. I like that he put his life together and... I would have liked to have had someone where he had to basically apologize to Annie.
Yeah.
But sort of...
But
she wound up in sort of this thriving position, and she got to be on the stage and say... And she got to be the magnanimous one and say, you know, hey, it's cool with me. I'm up here, you're down there.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't think she even meant it that way.
No, she didn't. But I think the show meant it that way.
Yeah.
I think that the show meant to tell us, look, you know, she got out of that relationship. She, you know... She got to where she wanted to be, and he had to sort of settle for something. He didn't get what he wanted to be.
I like that he cleaned up and stuff with the help of friends.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And well, the whole putting him on the boat thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like exactly.
That was a real... I mean, I have a friend of mine that similar things happen. Not he wasn't put on a boat, but yeah, I mean, to help him clean up, he had to move out of San Francisco. He's in LA now, and he works. Yeah, it's funny. He's one of the best singer songwriters I know. He works on Hot Rods now.
Huh.
He's getting back into music, but
yeah. But that was that's the trigger.
Like,
I
gotta get out. I gotta keep doing this. You know, it's interesting. Very interesting. I love the show. If you haven't seen it,
it's all on HBO Go.
HBO Go. Just take your time with it. Yeah. And if you don't like it, that's okay.
Yeah, no. It's
if you don't like it, watch it again. No, it's like an acquired taste.
It
if
is.
You don't
it's
like
wine. Yeah. It's like drinking bourbon or something.
Because it's just so well done.
Yeah.
That if you don't like it, it's because it's not meeting an expectation and a presupposition.
Yeah.
Because it's so well done, there's no reason to really not like it.
Well, I feel like...
Unless you have no joy in your life.
Well, no, I think if you're a person who likes story, if you like story over characters, or if you need story to go with your characters, and I'm often that kind of guy, just this one particularly hit me, mm-hmm. I think it's fair to someone say, yeah, it's not my thing. But I also think that people coming into Treme, even expecting The Wire, we're not getting The Wire.
No.
And I think that everyone going into Treme from now on, like catching it on DVD, is going to know what they're getting into because every review, we've met everybody who's ever talked about it has mentioned, hey, look, it's a slow burn. It's a slow story. It's all character. It's not plot. And people are going to know their expectations should be realistically set when they go into it.
I do think that – actually, it's funny. I was just thinking about – sorry. Yeah, I'm the only guy who watched the rest of Little Winter Sun.
literally the only person.
Yeah, and it was dark.
The ratings bear that out.
Yeah. I was the one guy.
Changed your last name to Nielsen.
Yeah, I was a Nielsen family. But anyway, but like that was supposed to be character-driven. The plot was stupid and stuff.
Yeah.
He had really good actors that just were terrible.
Yeah.
But that whole idea of the slow burn, I think is ingrained in people now. Because, I mean, every show, we all forget that. Go back and watch the first episode of almost any show you love. Whether Breaking Bad, whether The Wire, whether it was Lost. I didn't see Lost. I heard, actually, the first pilot of Lost was pretty awesome.
The pilot of Lost is great.
So, and I did see the first episode of The Shield, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
As far as pilots go.
See, I would say, I would draw a line. Breaking Bad, The Shield, and Lost, those are shows that kickstart right away. Yeah, those are the adrenaline rides.
So you have like, but The Sopranos or whatever.
The Sopranos, The Wire.
The Wire, The Sopranos.
Mad Men.
I don't remember. Well, actually, Mad Men for me hooked me. But most of these big idea shows or piece shows or character shows start out slow. So I would think that people know that going in. Especially if somebody says, hey, Greg, what do you think about the Treme? Oh, well, I'm warning you, this is it. It might not be a thing, but if you really need to experience, it's like reading a good book.
Yeah.
Hey, try it.
Yeah.
But I also think that in addition to that, not contradicting that, but in addition to that, is that we don't watch TV the way we did 5 years
exactly.
ago.
Exactly.
So slow burn is an acquired taste, but it's an acquired taste that's at your fingertips.
Yeah.
You know, you can go, you know, let a couple of them build up. I like for there to be a little connection between episodes.
Yeah.
And for as character-driven as Treme is, there were
some good
plots.
Stories.
There were stories. There were stories.
John Goodman's story was the most heartbreaking.
Yeah.
That was such an examination of depression and all is lost.
Yeah.
That a mountain of a man like John Goodman could just say...
And you forget that.
Everything that's about me is gone.
He was married to Melissa Leo, had a daughter, and just said, fuck it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, that's depressing.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you hit that point, other people don't matter. You know, I mean, suicide is the most selfish thing you can do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, sorry, I just can't do it.
You know?
And it was just so sad.
Yeah.
And then the aftermath.
Yeah.
You know, finding the car in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And her saying... you know, he had left a list of what he wanted the marching band to play.
Right.
Yeah.
And she said, fuck it.
Yeah.
You don't get that.
Yeah.
You're not entitled to that.
The anger, and that was very real.
Yeah.
You know, the shock of when, I always forget Steve Earle's character, but we just
got shot right in front of Annie. Yeah.
That shocked the shit out of me. Yeah. Literally.
Well,
I was like,
when he said, "You're going down the wrong path, right, son," I'm like, yeah. Just give him your money.
Yeah, that guy does not want to hear from you.
Right. Don't preach, pal. Save it for the corner.
And that nothing happened.
And you know, it's pretty wide open that the girl that got killed this season was, you know, that was all such a waste.
Yeah.
That just broke Antoine's heart.
And then them trying to figure out, you know, like, I think the principal said, "Yeah, we know how to do this." It's like, wait, why should you know how to do this? Or you've gone through it so many times.
Yeah.
And that school is funny because there was a show on Oprah show about a New Orleans school called Blackboard Jungle or Blackboard something.
Mm-hmm.
Blackboard Wars. That was about a charter school and something like, I don't think, somebody got shot at it. I think a friend of somebody got killed in it. And it was weird because they all knew what to do. It's like, at the elementary school that I work at, if something like that happened, it'd be like all over the news.
Yeah.
They shut the school down. Yeah. It's like the fact that it's like, yeah, it happens. Like, no, that shouldn't just happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, this show is, I wonder if somebody's going to like make college courses about this show. They probably
wouldn't surprise me.
Probably at Tulane or something.
Yeah. Well, I made on Facebook, I listed all the books that I read this year, and two of them were collections of essays on Mad Men. Over the summer when I was recuperating from my shoulder, I sat on the couch for a month and just watched Mad Men. Mm-hmm. And I said, I wonder what I can find on Kindle. One was a book written by philosophy professors, and another was written by TV critics.
Right.
But it was pretty great to read such in-depth analysis, especially from philosophy professors.
Yeah.
Such an in-depth analysis of a TV show that hadn't even finished running.
Yeah.
It was just for the first three seasons.
Yeah.
And there was just so much to it, you know, that I'm going, all that stuff that comes to you that you don't put words to, you know, these guys did. So it was like I took a class on Mad Men, and I think that there will be a date, you know. Well, if they can do Nicolas Cage, good or bad, you know, at a community college.
And that made you think, though.
I'm sure there'll be a David Simon course in our future.
And you do wonder, he is an Oscar winner. How the fuck did he get that Oscar? Everything else he did was terrible, except for one shiny moment. And he won an Oscar, and he was actually really good in that movie.
I hated that movie. That's not the best.
No, I thought he was good in it.
I think he's been great in a lot of things, but that's another story.
He is
a New Orleans guy, too. I'm surprised he never showed up.
Didn't he have to sell his house?
They mentioned one of his houses on.
He had a lot
on American Horror Story.
Yeah, he had a lot. He went through some financial issues. He had a lot of stuff he had to sell. So I know he had houses like all over the world.
Yeah, he had an island or something.
Yeah, he's like
a couple of castles.
Like, man, you are a weird dude.
But he's like Portugal. You know,
New Orleans.
Yeah. Portugal,
yeah.
New Orleans.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, if anything, New Orleans certainly is a place to film stuff.
Yep.
You know, it's like it passes for other places.
Yep.
And it
the whole story of New Orleans, the mystique is, if you've never gone to New Orleans, you gotta go. It's a uniquely American city. There's no other city like it. It's one of the most unique cities, I think, in the world.
Yeah. And that's one of the things about T.J. Davis that you go, that's the guy. I want one of those guys everywhere I go.
Yeah.
What a guy that's just steeped in it.
Yeah.
You know, who...
You know what?
Can get you into any club. You know, knows who's playing, what's worth spending your time on.
It depends, though. There's guys like that in Austin. Like,
you want to know part of it. Yeah, sure.
It's not that deep.
But, I'm sure spending a few hours with the real Rogan Davis, I think his name is. Or, Davis
kind of,
Rogan, I think. Yeah,
it would be kind of
insufferable.
It'd
be horrible. Yeah.
But,
right. Insufferable is the word you just used.
But But I'm very happy that David Simon decided to do this, and his team of people, David Mills, everybody that had anything to do with it, I'm very happy. All the actors. I'm so happy that all the musicians got the press that they got.
Yep.
Just...
Yeah,
Dave Walker, the Times-Picayune, all that—the passion—and I think, like, if we could just—if anybody could just do stuff with that kind of passion, that kind of thoroughness, whether you know, and let people judge it, I just think it would be great.
Yeah, Tremé, it's not unlike someone like Community. It had a small audience, but the audience it had loved it.
Yeah, Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, and there's something to be said for that.
Well,
so.
I think it's funny that, you know, like, Boardwalk Empire, that's a real place.
Yeah.
And a real place of time.
Yeah.
With real people.
Yeah.
But they still have to fictionalize it.
Yeah.
You know,
like, yeah.
They still...
Well, you know why? You know why? Because of what we're talking about. The real life happened with Nucky. Nucky lived. Nothing dramatic happened.
Right.
Nucky.
Yeah, yeah.
Lucky Luciano lived to be like... Yeah. He wasn't killed.
Yeah.
You know? Rothstein was killed. Yeah. We know that. But, like, these guys, like, you know, Al Capone died in jail.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, I mean, that's what
happened. There's no big dramatic arc. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to create that arc.
Yeah. That's the funny thing.
Yeah.
Is, you know, compare and contrast.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, here's real life, and here's real life TV.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Historical fiction. And so, I like historical fiction,
so
but I never felt like I was watching fiction when I watched
it. No, it felt very real.
Every character felt like, if I know that's an actor, but that character is a real person.
Yeah, it's probably a person, yeah. Well, guys, that'll wrap it up for us. Obviously, we really love Tremaine. We recommend you catch it on HBO Go or pick up the Blu-rays or something. It's a fantastic show. Sad to see it go, but glad it went out strong.
Yeah.
Until next time, TV Dudes out. Bug jumping and having fun. Down in the tram, it's me and my baby. We're all going crazy. Bug jumping and having fun.